is up. It's Dave from Metal Epidemic. I'm in Glasgow with Jamie from Knoll. How are you doing, sir?
I'm wonderful. Greetings. Thanks for coming out.
Absolutely. Like, we would not have missed this. Absolutely not have missed this. We've been speaking about you guys for reviewed the last couple of albums, so we've been talking about it for a while. So this was like our first opportunity to come and see you live, because I think you were in the UK last year, but I don't think you played Scotland last year, is that right?
Right, no, we didn't. I can't quite remember. Maybe the furthest north that we went was Newcastle. We played a fest called Biker Grave. But yeah, I haven't been to Scotland yet. It's beautiful and dark
time?
And dreary up here. Yeah, indeed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. So did you get a chance to kind of go out and explore today?
Oh, definitely. I take advantage of like architectural sightseeing walks when I'm around here. It's we don't have too much of that in America.
Okay.
A lot of the art has kind of been forgotten and lost. And I definitely like that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, nice one. Landed in Scotland in Glasgow for tonight. As I said, we've been chatting with you guys for a while. Your new album obviously just came out in January, As Spoken, which we absolutely loved. Like, incredible album. Definitely, it's one of my favourite releases from this year so far. Just absolutely phenomenal album. In fact, hold on, my screensaver.
Oh, no way. Yeah, you gotta put that in the camera. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. I mean, I really believe in the record. It's a privilege to be able to take it on tour, especially with a band like Bellwitch.
Yeah.
It's a strange bill that we're on, kind of a fast and slow amalgam, but I think it's, in terms of the atmospheres kind of convoked, it's complimentary.
Yeah, absolutely. With each kind of release from you guys, it seems to be kind of just pushing it to that next level. Every time, you know, it's pushing the boundaries even more on each release you bring out. And As Spoken was another kind of elevation of that. You know, more dissonant, more blackened, more extreme. Was that always the plan going into this one, just to kind of push it that bit further?
Truthfully, I think that the end product being of a higher degree of extremity than the last thing is almost a... It's kind of an equation out of habit and like sheer necessity and happenstance, I guess, rather than something that is deliberately thought out and focused on. It's somewhat, I feel, as if being a creative, especially within realms such as this and dark ones, much of your things are created out of a detestation of the last thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually felt that with our previous record, Metempiric. It was the first one where, and my first creation in general, where I stepped away from it maybe a year following being in the studio, and I wasn't, you know, completely embarrassed by it and feeling like I have to go out and reprove myself. Rather, As Spoken, it felt like a higher degree of confidence going into the recording and writing process.
Mm-hmm.
That I had something to prove, but it existed much more so as an elaboration or reiteration of things somewhat already explored, but I think that the record does it in a much deeper way, and to a degree reinvents itself and reinvents the band.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of like your kind of writing process for an album, is it always the same, or does it change from kind of album to album?
Oh, it's extremely hard to pinpoint, honestly. I found that each you know, piece on the record or the record itself definitely is shaped differently. When we first began writing music, Knoll it's my first musical project ever, and I live within it.
No.
I've never done anything else. I'm
really?
22 at currently, and we made the band when I was in high school. And you know, we knew that we were aspiring for something dark, and I knew that the feelings that I wanted to get across, but.
Mm.
We simply didn't have the know-how of the tools to do so. So we collaborated around and experimented for a while until we found a sound that was at least somewhat recognizable as our own or what we wanted to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like As Spoken was a bit of a come to fruition moment, and that I feel like we carved something out that's remarkably our own.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely in the past, like, you know, your musical pool as a child is somewhat limited, and your vocabulary to elucidate upon those things is as well. So I feel like kind of coming into my own, carving out my own identity. But yeah, it happened for me on this record.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Yeah, I think with As Spoken, just it felt even more kind of unique than you know what you'd done kind of previously.
Thank you. I realize I somewhat dodged your question. The writing process, it comes in tandem with the same thing. But the songs, I feel like they're, frankly, we don't have to sit on them as much anymore. There's no real rehashing or anything. Typically, when a song comes about, I have an idea of many layers that comes into my head all at once. And even being the singer, there's, you know, there's only so much that you can do in a practice space as a vocalist or a lyricist or whatever to convey your ideas. I need to have something in my hands, so I'm always playing drums or guitar or something to at least convey loosely, you know, rhythmic or melodic ideas. But yeah, the ideas just come to me kind of in a cohesive sum, and then we spew it out as we can. But yeah, I would say the practical process of doing that and the communication has definitely gotten a lot better.
So did you play instruments first before you became a vocalist?
No, actually, vocals were the first thing that I did. Embarrassingly enough, I kind of grew up as a bit of a deathcore kid. Yeah, I mean, I was 12, I think, when I started doing that, and my mom would, I'd go to the grocery store with my mother, and like, I'd sit in the car while she went in there, and I would practice my vocals, and I thought it was almost like an isolation chamber that nobody could hear me, but everybody could, and so we'd have people kind of looking in to this foreign vehicular object, and wondering why there is like a child making these sounds, and I couldn't, it sounded absolutely nothing like what I do now. I wouldn't say that I really tapped into my current vocal style until when we first recorded our first record, Interstice, and there was actually a pretty large vocal shift on S Spoken. There's an absence of traditional growls. They've been replaced by something I like to call a blood gargle. It's a result of taking my technique for like the higher shrill banshee type shrieks and pushing that just to the utmost, and there's a crackle there that I can't get any other way.
That's awesome. So was kind of deathcore your kind of gateway into kind of extreme vocals?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's as a vocalist, it's definitely not a bad place to start. No. I was really enamored by actually like way more guttural slam vocal styles. For maybe 6 years of doing vocals, I could never figure out how to get like the shrill, higher pitched scream. I was pretty much strictly confined to being like a frog, you know. But yeah, that it came with time. It's a matter of, you know, being able to be a proper conduit for this energy and loosen your throat rather than put so much tension into it, which when I'm doing this, it's much more of a free-flowing state than something that's very constricted. Although I find that basically every other part of my body is like as writhen as possible, rather than my throat. But there's definitely a lot of flexing and attention going on there.
It's fascinating. We were just watching you sound check there, and even when you were sound checking, I was watching like all the kind of different movements and shapes that you've got to kind of make with your mouth to get those different sounds and tones. That must take a lot of time to kind of refine and just, you know, to get the tones that you're looking for.
Definitely, it's somewhat muscle memory at this point, but it's kind of just come with experimentation. Yeah. Many of those things, it's I push myself to a certain point, you know, when I'm in the studio, and I feel like that's kind of where I always develop a new sound. It actually, it happened when we were recording Metempyric. I was like doing a playthrough of a song, and I just demanded that we redo it because I hit something in the middle that was like, I have never done that before, and it speaks to me in a certain way, and it's kind of like the overtone vocal where it sounds like there's almost two of me at once, a ghost layer, if you will.
Yeah,
and that really changed things for me coming out of that record.
Yeah. Like obviously that's the kind of more extreme side of things, but on a kind of day-to-day basis, what type of album do you kind of reach for when you're in the mood for listening to music? What's your kind of go-to?
Oh man, I'm all over the place, as are many musicians. I mean, there's such a thing that happens to you when you know, you tour on this extreme kind of music. Of course, some people kind of stray away from extreme music in their regular listening entirely. Yeah, I'm not one of those people. I'm pretty regularly consuming probably more black metal in my life than I've ever listened to, and I've gone down kind of the dungeon synth rabbit hole. Our new guitarist Cameron, he's put me onto a lot of those things and been he's a total scholar, to be honest with you. I've probably absorbed much of my musical taste in the current moment from him. I would say like black metal and dungeon synth and whatnot. In terms of like things that are maybe less assumed, it's a lot of classical and opera.
Mm-hmm.
And there's somewhat like the narrative element of opera is something that I like to take inspiration from. For Noel, I mean, we somewhat have, you know, a set design. There's anti-clamps and funeral drapes and whatnot. Yeah. There's no moving parts or and pieces, but I definitely enjoy the visual notions just as much as I do the musical ones at times.
And that was kind of something we touched on during the review of the album. It was very much an album when I heard I could kind of visualize all these types of things, even in a kind of live setting, you know, with different style lighting and maybe like film playing in the background or visuals of some kind. When you're kind of writing an album like this, do you think that far ahead? Are you thinking about the kind of visual aspect of it in a kind of live show when you're writing? Or
I would actually say I think of it first, to be honest with you. The majority of the material is based upon and heavily inspired by visuals that are in my head to begin with.
Okay.
I would almost say that they kind of beget the lyrics themselves. It's the imagery, I would say, preludes the music and inspires the atmospheres that I directly reference, you know, what the song looks like in my head when I sit down to do something as menial as like write a riff or work with somebody on the song. There's a place that the song inhabits, or maybe something more abstract within the confines of just a thing. And it's I would say it takes precedence for sure.
When you released Metempyric, in my head when I heard it, I was like, this album's going to kind of push these guys onto the kind of next thing. They're going to, you know, get much bigger from this album. And I completely expected this new album to be on some form of kind of major label, to be honest, when I heard the previous album. So I was slightly surprised when I saw it was like independent, other kind of like self-release. But I was just kind of curious as to, do you continue to kind of go down the independent route because it's kind of cutting out middleman, so to speak? You're kind of keeping control of what you're doing.
I would absolutely say so, and you are right. We heard from all sorts of labels after Metempyric. And they're all great people. I find a lot of my music from collections and art houses and labels and things like that. But in terms of you're good. When it comes to our band, it doesn't really matter how much of a fan I am of a particular label. Frankly, of course, you know, money is a huge thing that's involved when you're working with a record label, and not that it's the end-all be-all of all things, but it's a large tool that you have at your disposal in terms of keeping the boat afloat.
Yeah.
And really, that is keeping the artistic vehicle going is the thing that matters most to me for Noel. And I grew up within this band. It embodies everything that I know, and in terms of, you know, living within this niche. I've just learned everything through it. So I've felt like there are certain things, especially with a band as nuanced as us, and maybe we have a lot of attention to detail, and some of those things are the things that bring me the greatest fulfillment out of creating music, are doing all of the graphics and whatnot, and we do like wax sealed envelopes and hand stamped messages and whatnot when we ship out our packages. And I know that if we were to sign to a label, we would forgo a lot of those creative decisions and frankly connection with the people that are finding something from this music. And I couldn't give that up for anything. Also, to be completely frank, I haven't seen anything that's been convincing enough to me yet. I'm not entirely closed off to it, but right now I love having involvement to the utmost in everything that we do.
Does it keep you more motivated as well, being kind of DIY?
It keeps me busy. That's actually one of the main things I feel like, why would we pay somebody else to do this essentially, or like give a cut off of the top when I could just do it myself? And you know, maybe you give yourself the same rewards or whatever. It's better for things like that to go internally, and so I kind of adopt that practice into many regards within the bands. I've done more and more of the artwork and layouts and video work and things like that. I even did publicity for this last one, actually. I have a lot of help from my friend Becky Laverty. She's kind of like the band mother. She's taught me a lot, but try to do as much as I can.
So you mentioned artwork there. I think it was Ethan from Primitive Man did the first couple of album covers. Did he do this one as well?
Actually, he did Aspoken as well. It was an interesting process. It's gotten a bit more collaborative as it's gone on. He'll tell you the same thing. I somewhat learned how to do artwork and learn how to, you know, use Photoshop files and whatnot from working with him and just looking at that and kind of studying how he does things. And he's been just a great guy to be around in that regard. So for this record, he delivered me something, and I asked him if it was okay if I just kind of augmented it, if I added, you know, more pieces to the layout and whatnot. I love, as a consumer of music, you know, getting a package that has a booklet and yeah. many pieces of imagery that are outside the front and back cover. Yeah. And I wanted to add all those sorts of things and, you know, be very elaborate with my font work, with the lyrics and things like that. I spent so much time on them, it'd be kind of a disservice not to be as meticulous with the text.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I think the artwork's absolutely well. Obviously, I've got it on my phone. But,
thank you. I adore it as well. He really captured it beautifully.
Yeah, I love it. Just briefly on the kind of production side of things, your previous album had Andy Nelson, Kurt Ballou, Brad Boatwright.
Right.
The kind of like Mount Rushmore of like, production.
That's a good way to put it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we are mildly obsessed with those guys. But this time Andy did the recording and mixed the album as well.
Right, yeah. So, and that decision was like, obviously, you know, Kurt mixed the records beautifully, the first two. I wanted to do it as somewhat of an experiment just because of, you know, the recording idea of, well, if you spend however many amount of days with this person, this engineer who's overseeing so many of the smaller decisions that you're making on the record, you know, what pedal you might use for a certain guitar part or... you know, if he has to endure me in a vocal booth, which is unsightly, frankly, and he knows what goes into that, and I think that, you know, Kurt or Andy, whoever it may be behind that helm, is going to understand it best and have the best chance at an accurate result and depiction if they have been there for that allotted amount of time. And so, just the decision to mix with the engineer who recorded you as well was... Yeah. Kind of the turning point, and frankly, I do think it came out better that way.
It's incredible, it sounds incredible. Your previous albums, before they've even been released, like, you guys are almost kind of ahead of the curve and already working on, you know, the next thing. In terms of As Spoken, are you already thinking about the release after?
Or? Beyond thinking, yeah. Actually,
really?
there's a bit of a double LP going on right now. Yeah, I can't. There's an interesting conceptual behind what makes it a double LP. But, there's definitely a lot of material being brewed. We had a guitarist by the name of Evan Kubik who left the band actually following recording As Spoken. He just went on to, you know, like, work a normal job and not be shipped around in a metal box. But we immediately got a new guitarist who's, you know, equal amounts of wizardry, and he had a lot of ideas to bring. So yeah, there's been many broths stewing. There's a lot. I think we'll probably be in the studio for a good chunk of time this year.
All right, okay. So I was just going to ask, after like this kind of tour kind of comes to an end, is it more touring or is it kind of kept time for studio for this year?
Oh, a bit of both, always. I try not to be away from touring for more than 3 months. I get a little bit antsy if it's, I don't know, it's somewhat of an evil mistress being on the road, isn't it?
Like,
you get home and you go stir crazy if you're there for too long, but also if you tour too many times in a row, you get somewhat burnt out. But keeping the variety somewhat between like North America and Europe, and hopefully we're actually going to be able to explore some other international options maybe later this year or early next.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I the variety has kept me intrigued, and frankly, you know, putting out records frequently and being able to tour on a new thing and see how people intake that is also a very rewarding experience that keeps it fresh and inspires the writing as well when you get back home.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jamie, thanks so much. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you. I can't wait to watch your show later on. It's been a long time coming for us.
Yeah, probably like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And it was a treat to see you guys review the record, and even more so to meet you guys in person and be able to do this. So thank you.
For sure. Thank you. Cheers, guys.